two nations in the world that was dedicated to God. One was the nation of Israel, and the other is the United States. Right from the beginning, they were dedicated to the God of Abraham. So here's a prophecy that's been given through Amos the prophet. It's Amos chapter 3, verse 2 through 8. And it goes like this. I just want to read these to you. You only have I chosen among all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment, an arrangement? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from his den unless he has captured something? Do birds fall into a trap on the ground where there is no bait in it? Does a trap spring up from the earth when it captures nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? Surely the Lord has done nothing unless he reveals it to his secret counsel, to his servants the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? What the idea is that's being posted, that's being put out there is, a lion doesn't make any noise. If it's hungry and it's seeking its prey, if it's stalking, it's very quiet. It sneaks up until it comes upon the prey. And then just before it pounces, it'll roar real loud so that the animal will like freeze like a deer in the headlights. It stops to hear what's happened, and the lion jumps out and does the kill. Also, it's talking about the young lions. They don't make noise in their den unless they found something, and then they're growling to let everybody know to stay away. The food is theirs. And then he's talking about the traps, and traps are harmless. He's saying, you know, a bird just doesn't come down and land into a bird trap unless there's some reason, a bait there that the animal will land on. Trap will not spring shut by itself. Something has to step on the trap to trigger it so that the animal gets lost. And he's saying, what's going on? I am telling you now through the prophets, the lion has roared. It has already happened. And it's not that God himself has to do this. He's letting these traps spring shut by themselves. The lion will hunt by itself. He's just permitting it. He said if two people walk together, they've had to come to some kind of agreement to stay together. He's talking about himself and Israel as a nation. From the time they left Egypt till the present time, they had agreed to walk together. And God was the one who was supposed to be protecting the children of Israel. So they had walked together, and now the children of Israel had made a turn and started drifting off. And he's going, you're walking away from this. You're walking away from me. You're walking away from the arrangements. There are traps out there. There are hidden things that are ready to snag you, to kill you, to bring you harm. The lion is out there, and you're not paying attention, but he's out there, and he's ready to pounce. You're going to step on something and it'll spring shut. Boom, and you'll be had. Here we are. And now the United States of America, the only other country that from its inception till now has been dedicated to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we've been kept from harm off and on through the years. We've had our issues and problems. But the traps are there. And if a person sins on a personal level, there are traps there that will close around him. And God's saying, I've warned you to walk with me. Don't stray off by yourself. And we've had nations to have the same trap happen, or the lion pounce. International, we could have all the world. And it seems like now the whole judgment of the coronavirus has clamped down on the world, but the world itself, which for a long time, so many Christians had been out there influencing and being missionaries and spreading the good news, and people were coming around to understanding the ways of the God of Abraham, that they were walking under a protection of God. So we had this trap, as we might say, sprung on the international set, the pandemic's everywhere. But we as Christians, what are we supposed to be doing about it? Are we going to just get swept along with the rest of the group that's going, you know, that's headed toward the traps? It says in the last days there is quite the possibility that if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. And if you're one of the elect, pay attention to what's going on around you. Make sure that you're not fooled and you're not swept up into this whole herd mentality. I'd like to read to you some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. There is something that we are instructed to do even at times like these. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For they provoked him when they had heard. Indeed, did not all those who come out of Egypt led by Moses, meaning they are the ones who provoked God, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter into because of unbelief. The idea is, he's told us there's something left for us. While the children of Israel had agreed to walk with God, and they got all the way up to the borderland of the promised land, a place that's supposed to be a place of rest for them, they balked there at that line, and they didn't go. They said, no, as a herd, as a group, it says they, them. It talks about some, and some translations use the word some, but it's the idea that there was a herd of mentality kicked in. They didn't follow Moses. Moses had performed the miracles, the 10 plagues. The Red Sea had split. They had already went through a battle with his arms raised up. All of this had happened, and yet when he said, now's the time to enter, they balked and they said no. Their leader said, this is the way it's supposed to be. Aaron said, this is what the Lord wants. Joshua and Caleb both said, we've been in there. The Lord is with us. This is everything he's promised. There are the things that God's promised. It is a place of rest for us. It is some place that we can go into and live a good life. It's a place where we don't have to work. The land is going to be given to us. We will dwell in houses that we didn't have to build. We will harvest a field that we did not plant. We will pick grapes, we'll pick figs, we'll pick pomegranates from trees and orchards that we did not have to plant or tend. We will drink from wells that was not dug by us. And the list can go on. And it was all there, and all they had to do was enter into the land and take it as a place of rest. But they were barred because of their unbelief. They got to the place that they were to enter into the rest, and they refused to go. But here's what is waiting for us. It takes a little more reading here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. So there remains a Sabbath rest for those, for there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's us. There is a Sabbath rest. There's a day of rest for us. For the one who has entered his rest, meaning for the one who has entered God's rest, has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his works. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall, so that no one will fail, through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of the Lord is active and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's the first part of verse 12 there about the word of the Lord. The Lord has spoken and said to us. While the people of Israel, the people who came out of Egypt, they were barred because of their unbelief, he said it's still there. The promised land was still there, and for the next generation that came up, he eventually got them into the land. Caleb and Joshua entered into it, but all the rest of the 40, all the rest of the people who came out of the land of Egypt, they passed away. God did take care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their dresses and their clothes and their robes didn't wear out either. They had food. They had manna. They had quail. They had water. They had the pillar of fire by night, which lit them up, so they could see what was going on and gave them warmth. And they had a pillar of cloud by day, which gave them shade, and they knew where God was. We are to, and this is the only place that it says in all the Bible, verse 11 of chapter 4, let me find it. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. The King James Version said, let us labor to enter into that rest. And if you look up the word, it means push forward to do this. Make haste. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait. Make an effort. Make sure that you are in the place of rest, which means you're in a place where you're actually at peace with God. And if you have that peace with God, He's going, you can relax now. God finished all of His work. And it was accomplished back at the very beginning because He said, there's the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth. God has known everything that's going to happen right from the get-go. He knew it, He had prepared for it, and He had brought it all together. And He said, now I set and rest from my work and from my effort, not only of creation, but also of setting up salvation's plan. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, the people who enter into that rest have quit struggling and trying to make on their own. They come to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. God, You said You would be my Savior. You said You would be my salvation. You said that You would be my protector. You said that You would be a Father. You said that You would love me and guide me and lead me and be a shepherd to me. You made these promises to You. I'm going to quit struggling, and instead I'm going to depend upon You to do just that, to lead, to guide, and direct. If we come to the place, even with this, and pray about it over this COVID-19 thing, if we come to a place of peace with God over that, we need to make sure that we stay there. No matter what's going on, because the world is out there pushing and trying to keep the fear level up. Ratings go up if there's fear. People want to hear what's going on, and it thrives on fear, and they can sell more ads if people are tuning in their radios and TVs to those stations. So they will constantly keep this fear level as high as they can get it instead of letting the people relax and say, we can handle this. But we are not to be part of that herd. We are to be different. We are to step back and say, I am trusting my God to get me through this. We are not to walk around cowering from this. We're not to hide in our houses. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with staying in our houses at a time like this. Even at the time of the children of Israel and they're coming out of the land of Egypt, just before they left, He said to them, go into your houses, stay there, and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door, and stay inside that house. As long as you're inside that house, you will be safe. You will be passed over. So there's nothing wrong with us. It's not anti-God if we stay in our house, but don't cower in your house. Stay in your house. Take the normal precautions. And like they say, wash your hands, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands, wash your hands. Do all this. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep following those guidelines because they are sensible, they're normal, and God would expect that. Jesus Himself said, physicians are for those who are sick. There are people who are sick. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with us following the advice of health givers and listening to what they said, but we don't have to panic or become compulsive over this. Some people have become compulsive, but we're to say, God will take care of me at this time. I will follow and trust in Him, and I will do what is, I don't want to say required, but what is suggested toward us to do. Now, back to the rest. If we come to the place where we are at peace with God and we enter into that rest and we can say, God is going to take care of me. By the way, Deb, I'll just say Deb B, you know who she is, has returned to her house. She is getting better. You know, it's amazing. They're praising God for how He moved in her situation. And she even related back to me and said, when this happened, I knew I was going to be all right. That's the peace that I'm talking about, where you come to a place where you go, these things are happening, and other people are saying, oh, this is bad and terrible, and you know that God's going to take care of everything. And she said, I knew I was going to be all right. So she wasn't panicking and all the stuff that was going on. She was trusting in God. This is a very important place for us to be at the place of trusting in God. Now, here's another scripture I'd like to read. It's Psalm 91. A lot of people read Psalm 91 as though it's a call to war. And some people, I was just talking to a different pastor, and he said, they quote this, but it really doesn't apply to us because we're Christians. But on the contrary, it does apply to us because the very opening statement, and I like the way it says it in the King James better, but it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This is the New American Standard. The King James says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The interesting thing is, what is that place? Well, it's that place of rest that he said we're to enter into. It's that place of shelter where we know that God is taking care of us. And if we enter into that, then the rest of this psalm becomes promises to us, becomes ideas that he's expressing to us so we can have peace. A lot of people read this psalm and make claims to it, but they never do what the first verse says. Dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Now, I'll just read a few verses here. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. And then it goes on and says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your house. And that's where I'm stopping. You need to read the rest of this yourself. But you see that whole psalm hinges on that very first verse. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, or dwells in the secret place of the Lord. If you're there in that place of rest and peace, then it's saying things like, he will cover you with his pinions. He will deliver you. You have nothing to fear. He will take care of you. And when you call, he will answer. No evil, no plague, no arrows will come towards you of a night. You can rest soundly knowing that you are going to be taken care of, even though destruction's going on around you. Yet, you can have peace in your heart. This verse came into play with an older couple at the time when I knew them. It was during World War II. I didn't know this psalm at that time. And he was drafted. He was serving in the war. And she was really, really concerned. And so she started praying. And she sought the Lord. And she prayed. And finally the Lord brought her to this verse, to this psalm, and to the verse where it said, though a thousand fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, no harm will come to you. When she read that, she knew that the Lord had made her a promise that her husband would return and everything was going to be okay. He would be protected even though he was going through these battle times. Well, it turned out after he came back, they were discussing what had happened, and she told him about this psalm and this verse. And the day that she received the peace of the Lord about her husband, what happened to him, and they put the time down as close as they could get it, where he was staying that night, the tent that he was in, the camp that they had set up that night, was actually shelled. And he said, right when she was making the prayer and getting the assurance from God, a shell had went off, and he was in the tent, him and this friend of his was in the tent together, and the shell hit, and something slammed over his face, and he said, I woke up, and I could just feel this intense heat, and I thought I was bleeding, and my face was bleeding, and he said, it turned out it was a casing off of a shell had exploded and came through the tent and slammed right over his face, never touched his face, but the heat from the explosion was so intense that he instantly started sweating. And he whipped that off of his face and he sat up and his friend next to him was killed. Though 1,000 fall at his left and 10,000 at his right, no harm came close to him. He said as the war progressed, people realized and started believing that God was with me. And if we came under attack and I jumped into a foxhole, he said all these guys would start piling in on top of me. And he said, what are you doing? And they said, we know wherever you go, the Lord is going to protect you and we're going to be right there with you because we will come under the protection of the Lord. Yes, it's true. God himself really does protect us at those kind of levels. And he does give people those kind of assurances. And she knew and walked in peace throughout the rest of the war after that had been given to her. And he knew and experienced the peace of God as he was in the war and he was being protected. Why her? Why him? I don't know all those things. But I know God can do that for us. But we are to enter in. We are to make the effort to get into a place where we are at peace. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, as this time goes through and we get upset and get tired and stir crazy of being in the house all the time, help us to look for the positive side of it, that we are in a place and we're trusting you to continue to make that a safe place. And should we have to venture out, that nothing would come to us. Put us in a place of peace and rest. Let this church and the members of this church and the people who attend here come to a place of rest, knowing you as their Savior, claiming that right of entering into a Sabbath rest, knowing that you have already accomplished everything. At the beginning of the world, you had already said, there is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth was laid. Father, we know that you've already prepared for us a safe dwelling and a safe life here, right now, during this time of tumult, and this time of promoted fear. Give us the wisdom to do what's correct. And if we're going someplace like a store and there's somebody there, slow us down so that we won't walk into the path of somebody that is a spreader of the coronavirus or anything like that. Just protect us, our goings in and our comings out. Protect us in all those situations. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Let your peace dwell upon us. Be with this church. Bring it back together as quickly as possible. And let us assemble as a group once again to sing your praises, to worship you, and to learn more about your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.